Okay, so we had Rosh Hashanah, we made it through Yom Kippur, the day of fasting, and now there's a few days in between Yom Kippur and the next holiday, which is Sukkot. Sukkot is when you hear hammers pounding all day long. Everyone in the neighborhood's making a little hut, a sukkah. So, of everything that I have heard about Sukkot, I'm going to tell you the thing that I found the most interesting. And the fun thing about these holidays is that you're in a different place every year. Hopefully, we're always growing and changing. And so every year, even the holidays never get old. I got something different out of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur than this year than I did last year. And I'm in a different place this year with Sukkot. And so what the main thing that I'm thinking about this year with sitting in the little hut, and I want to have pizza in the hut. That's my little joke of the day. We all have these little huts to go. You really don't have to do anything. You can eat in your sukkah, or you can sleep in there, you can just talk, have a glass of wine. But really, the commandment is just to sit in the sukkah. And so that's a pretty easy commandment to fulfill. Especially when you live in a place where the whole neighborhood is building one and there's many sukkahs to choose from, even if you don't make your own. You can't, it would be weird to go just walk into somebody's house, but it's not really weird to just go into a sukkah and sit. That's what they're there for. They're up for maybe 10 days the most, and that they're kind of. It's to promote unity and joy and fellowship, just being together outside in the sukkah. But to take that to a little bit deeper level, on Yom Kippur, at the very, very end of Yom Kippur, we read the story of Jonah. And I think it's just a story that we all grew up learning how he's a prophet. He's considered the universal prophet, the prophet to the nations. And he was sent by God to the wicked city of Nineveh. And he was told to tell them that they had to change their ways, or in 40 days, God was going to destroy them. And since Jonah was a prophet, he knew that Nineveh was going to be used in the future against Israel. And he actually would rather die than to do something that would hurt his fellow Israelites, his countrymen. And so, when you just read the text of Jonah, you don't get all this out of it. This is all in the oral Torah, the Midrash, the sages have written all this stuff. The story gets a lot more interesting when you know what's going on behind the scenes. And there's a lot of neat things, but the thing that I wanted to key in on was Jonah, what Jonah's problem really was, because it seems like how could anybody, when they're told to do something, think that they could say no and run away and the whole thing's just kind of funny, that he gets swallowed by a whale and he finally goes. But his problem was, part of his problem, besides the fact that he knew that Nineveh was going to, in the end, be Israel's enemy and hurt Israel, and he knew that they would repent and that God would not destroy them. And then Israel would have to deal with them, and he would just assume that God did destroy them. So the last thing he wanted to do was to go and tell them to repent and have them listen and do it. And one of his thoughts was, it's not true repentance. They're just going to say they're sorry because they don't want to be destroyed, and it's not going to last. And the whole thing is a joke, and I don't want any part of it. And I can't believe that these people could be doing all these wicked, evil things, and they, yeah, they're going to look like they're sorry for a little while, and God's going to forgive them, and God's not going to destroy them. Then Israel's going to have to deal with these people, and they're not even really sorry. So this whole thing, he's like, God, I don't want any part of this. This doesn't make sense to me. This isn't right. And I just assume, he basically went on a suicide mission. He knew when he got on that boat to run away from God that that was it, that he didn't really expect to live through that. So he does, we know the story. It's just, he ends up fulfilling his mission after he gets swallowed by the whale or whatever fish it was. The fish spits him out, the whole story. But he does. He finally does his job that he was told to do. I think he says one sentence, like he does the least amount possible to do his job. He says, you better repent or God's going to destroy you in 40 days. You have 40 days to repent. And they do. They really do. And they do it like over the top, above and beyond, like any, the story is like if they had stole some wood and they wanted to return the wood, they took apart the whole thing that they made with the wood just so they could return the wood. Like they repented in such a way that it would be like hard to upkeep that extreme way that they repented. But that's what I was reading, that they really repented. But Jonah wasn't falling for it. He was mad that God was falling for it. He said, these people, they're not really going to change. They're not really sorry. They don't understand, what it means to truly repent. And so the funny thing is, he goes a little bit outside the city and he makes himself like a little sukkah, a little hut to sit under in the shade. And he's just kind of like pouting a little bit and watching from a distance. And just the thing is that the thing that I thought of with this was, how you say that this mirror thing, that the thing that we accuse other people of, that we are most likely guilty of that in some way ourselves. And so I was looking at Jonah, and it was like it kind of hit me like, wow, the very thing that he's accusing Nineveh of, that they're not truly sorry, that they don't seem to understand what true repentance is. Could he be guilty of that himself in a way? And so when we go through this season of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and this season of returning back to God and acknowledging that He's the King, and He's the one that's in charge of our lives, and it's not up to us, and it's whatever He says, He's the King. And so here's Jonah saying that these people don't really understand what making God the king is, and being sorry for their sins. And at the same time, I see that he had to have his own private lesson in, Jonah, you may be a prophet, you may be filled with the truth, but you still haven't really got there yet. You haven't really accepted the fact that God's the one in charge. And that's really what making him the king and returning back to that state of acknowledging that it's God that's on the throne, whether we understand what he's doing or not, and that if he wants to be merciful to these people and these animals and not destroy them all. And we remember the part of the story at the end where Jonah is sitting in the sukkah, in this little hut that he made, and God causes like a miracle to happen, like a big, huge shady plant to grow up and give him some shade. And it grows up like overnight, and Jonah's really happy about that miracle that was given to him. And then God causes a worm to come and destroy it, and then Jonah is beside himself, angry. And he just, God's message to him was, you know, you're upset about the beautiful plant that you were enjoying so much. It was destroyed. But yet you can't seem to understand that I created these people and these animals, that it upsets me when they're, you know, when they're worthy to be destroyed. And so I want to give them every possible chance. And, you know, it doesn't matter that maybe, you know, a short time from now, we're going to see that they go right back to their old ways. It seems like that really isn't even, like, all of the other characters are secondary characters. This is really about Jonah and teaching him what it really means to make God the king, and what it really means to meditate on these things. And that's why it's so neat that after we have this time of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and coming before God and doing, you know, saying we're sorry and trying to make ourselves better, that now when you get out of the house and you go sit in your little hut and kind of simplify your life, and you just think about, you know, I have this solid house, I have this protection, I have these walls and this roof, but now I'm going to leave all that because I know that the true protection is God, is my Father in heaven. And so I can sit out here in this flimsy little hut and know and just feel in the hut, it's like God's hug around us, that his presence, his protection. It's a memorial to the time that God protected the Israelites in the desert. And so it's kind of like the last step to really completing this process that we started on Rosh Hashanah, and then we went through with the fast day of Yom Kippur. And now we have a week to really let it all sink in, get out of the house, go sit in the hut, think about what it means to really, really understand that God's in charge. And this is what Jonah had to do. He had to see that God was in charge, and that God was a merciful God, and that if he's going to have mercy on who he has mercy, and that Jonah wasn't the one in charge, and that Jonah was accusing people of, you know, like, they're not truly repenting, they don't truly get it, they don't truly know what's going on. And I think the message to Jonah was, Jonah, do you really know what's going on? And in the end, he finally got it. He did finally have an understanding through all this of what is really going on and who's really in charge and who's really the king. And that this whole message is not so much about Nineveh repenting, even though it is, and about the sailors and every other part of the story. Jonah is definitely the main character, and definitely the one that has a lesson to learn about what does it really mean to truly, truly make God the king and complete the whole process that we started. So that's where we're at right now. We're in the days of sitting in the hut and really letting everything that we've just been through the last month or longer, 40 days, and just let it all sink in. Okay, that's what's going on here in the land. We are expecting company. We've been invited every day out somewhere. We're going out. People are coming here. It's just very, you might be able to hear some pounding outside. That's all you hear. Pounding, pounding, pounding. People are building their huts. That's what's going on now. And so, Hag Sameach.